Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Lenny Gray. So Lenny, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, so I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I am, amongst other things, I'm probably a serial entrepreneur is the word I've heard being thrown around here nowadays. And I have, I think, 13 different businesses, mostly in the home service industry, but I also do some vacation rentals, some land development. Just always busy and always doing things. I wrote a couple of books, the Door-to-Door Millionaire series. So my background is in sales, in particular, door-to-door direct sales.
Awesome. So can you just tell us more about your businesses? Because obviously 13 is a lot. So if you can, you know, home services, like what does that mean? Like for our audience who doesn't know?
Yeah. So I got my start knocking doors while I was in college, and I was doing door-to-door pest control sales for Orkin Pest Control. And after I graduated from school, I got a deal to work for the main marketing arm of Orkin. I worked for them for a couple of years and then started my own pest control company. So I've built and grown 12 different pest control companies. I've had 7 of those acquired, currently running 5 of those. But in the meantime, I've also used my book as a benchmark to help other home service companies. You name it, I've helped somebody, coach somebody, or been involved with somebody in the home service industry to put together door-to-door platforms.
So when it comes to pest control, like what specifically, because like you mentioned that you sold some companies, you still own some companies, like when does it make sense to actually exit versus keeping and holding on to the company?
Boy, that's, we don't have that much time, Dan, to go into all of that. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors. I mean, the first thing is, what is the end goal of the owner? You know, what do they want to accomplish in their life? Are they looking, you don't build a company to, not everybody builds a company to do the same thing, right? Some people want a legacy company, so they want to leave it with their children. Some people want to build a company to sell and get out and invest or do some other things with it, with the capital they raise from that company. Other people, you know, they might be, you know, somebody who's looking to just have self-fulfillment and be in a position to hire people, provide jobs, and create an environment that they love to be a part of. So there's a lot of reasons why people decide to sell. I mean, we had our own reasons to do these acquisitions. We had one in 2007 and then a handful of others in 2016, 2017. So and there are different reasons even for those, you know, within those two acquisitions, right, that we've had. So that's a tough question.
Yeah, sure. And I guess I was thinking pest control specifically, right? It's like you've been very successful. So like how do you have a successful pest control business? Like what separate, is it just an easy business or is it just something, I'm sure there's something that you've done specifically that separates you from your competition?
You know, the first thing that for me was the most important thing is I was working for this company that, you know, marketed Orkin Pest Control. I had a lot of people hit me up like, wow, you're so good at sales. And I had, you know, been the rookie of the year and one of the top sales reps in the company. And I was getting approached by several people saying we should partner up and do our own thing. We can do the pest control thing. And the interesting thing for me was a lot of them were sales background oriented like I was. And I always thought, well, why would I want to partner with you when we do the same thing? I don't really know how to kill bugs. I don't know how to run a business day to day and do payroll. Right, right. All those things that don't interest me. I like to sell and I like to, you know, recruit and train people. And, right. And those are my passions. So for me, I picked a business partner. And again, we're still business partners to this day. I mean, 21 years and going. And, you know, he was the guy that was running day-to-day operations in a pest control company in an Orkin branch. He was the one that was doing payroll. He was the one doing the service side of thing and hiring technicians. I mean, I can count on one hand how many pest control homes I've actually sprayed or serviced, right? That's not my world, but I partnered with somebody whose it was. So I'm a big fan of hiring around your weaknesses, especially when you're looking to partner with somebody.
So in general, but like, how do you think you know, like what separates a successful pest control business from one that's not? Obviously, like you mentioned, being able to sell, having somebody who's good at operations, but is it like, you know, charging a certain amount, you know, getting people on a subscription? Like, I'm sure there's probably certain tactics that you've used to help take a business over and scale it exponentially.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing for us as we grew was the application of a door-to-door sales program. I mean, for us, that was huge. Again, that was my background. That's where I got started in the industry. So we always knew that if we could hire reps and even use my skills. I mean, when we first started, it was me, you know, selling and my business partner spraying, and it was just the two of us. And then year over year, we kept adding to our door-to-door sales force. And so, you know, in most of the home services, pest control in particular, you know, people have been knocking doors for 25 plus years right now. So if you want to scale quickly, there's a way to learn that process of doing door to door. But as we've matured as a company and as people, we've realized that it's not just about door to door to growth, especially if you're looking for, you know, acquisition partners, because a lot of times those door to door accounts, if the reps aren't trained right, aren't valued as high as maybe an organic lead or something from a GMB and LSA or something along those lines. So we've kind of taken the approach now where there's a lot of legs on our chairs of growth. So if you pull one out, the chair's still standing. Like, so we have door-to-door. If we happen to not hire any door-to-door sales reps for any given year, we'll be fine. We'll still grow because we've learned how to grow our business in multiple different ways. So I would say that's an important part of it, is just being well-rounded in your growth strategy.
So for success in door-to-door sales, like, do you typically have somebody at the door knocking who can actually do the work, you know, right then and there? Or is it more just like leaving pamphlets? Like, what does that look like for success in door-to-door in 2023?
Yeah, in particular, for most home service industries, most of the most successful sales reps aren't going to be technically sound or minded. We want them to focus on what they're really good at, and that's closing deals. And then the technical side, focusing on what they're really good at, making sure they provide a quality service and building a relationship with the customer and all those most important things as well. So for a door-to-door sales rep, I mean, again, depending on ticket value and, you know, if you've got a setter closer model, or if you're just doing a closer model, realistically, you can knock on somebody's door and within 10 to 15 minutes, you can have them sign a one-year service agreement in the pest control industry. And it shouldn't take much more than that if you have, this is the most important part about sales training, is if you have the right sales training processes that are replicable, that anybody could really learn and excel at with some practice and some repetition.
So are you guys looking at data, for example, of like new home purchase, you know, just to really target like the right people? Because I mean, obviously, if somebody's been living somewhere for a while, they might already have a service, you know, so what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, people that already have a service, that's great. I mean, there's switchovers and there's techniques behind, right, you know, seeing if they're getting a quality service or if maybe giving your company a shot makes the most sense. I write about that. I think I have a competition section in my second book that really dives deep into competition and switchovers. But yeah, I think it really depends. There are some demographics that I know some sales reps may like more than others. And yeah, it's the new homes or new move-ins. But for the most part, you can sell in almost anything. I mean, if you're looking for a subscription model, if you're doing something like that, you want to make sure you're in a demographic that the affordability factor isn't going to come into play, where people, they have to choose between maybe some more important things and pest control, or some more important things, or getting their windows washed, you know, whatever the service is. So certainly in each industry, I found that there's a demographic that fits really well, but a lot of it is catered or customized to that particular sales rep a lot of time.
Makes sense. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that pest control operators are facing right now in 2023?
I believe, and I talk to home service and in particular pest control owners all the time. You know, I have a coaching and a training session. I do free webinars all the time. I mean, I am constantly in contact with these people. And I would say that the top few challenges that they have are, number one, hiring, just finding the right fits for their organization culturally and even from a work ethic standpoint. I would say number two is just putting together a sales program that has some continuity to it. A lot of times, you know, as business owners, we get so busy and we want to hire somebody else to manage, you know, different parts of our business, which is fine. But if you turn sales over to somebody else and that somebody else leaves, yet they've trained half of your sales force a particular way, then you hire somebody else to do it a different way, or that does it a different way. And then you've got a lot of conflicting ways that accounts are being sold. And sometimes that doesn't help in retention of those accounts that are being sold. And I don't care if it's your inbound team, your outbound team, your door-to-door team, your commercial team, whatever, you know, whatever ways and you're looking to grow in-house with your sales force, you have to be able to have a process. And most business owners don't have a process. It's, wow, somebody's willing to sell for me. Well, great. Maybe read this book, or maybe, you know, listen in, shadow, you know, one of the people that are currently doing it, and they don't really have a sales program that's going to withstand the tests of time and be super successful. And then the last one, besides the hiring and then the sales training, I would say the last struggle is really just finding avenues, like I mentioned before, of growth that are beyond what you're most comfortable with. You know, learning how to do online, social media, LSA, GMB, click ads, door-to-door, you know, commercial teams, B2B stuff. I mean, there's so many ways to grow. And a lot of times business owners just kind of get caught in that tunnel vision of, this is what I'm good at, or this is what my background is. So we'll just focus on that.
Sure. So how do you, like you mentioned, obviously, door-to-door is a big part of what you do, but how do you implement technology in this scenario? Because I feel like in this space, there's not as much technology being used compared to like other industries. So how do you make sure that technology is of cutting edge to make sure that these operators can scale exponentially?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, funny enough, when I was knocking, you know, full-time back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I mean, I remember to log area, I would flip over the back of one of these flyers that Orkin gave us, and I'd write the house number down, and then I'd have to check it if they said no, or start if they said yes, or leave it blank if they didn't answer. And I had the, you know, and I had to, every night I'd go back and I'd have to rewrite my notes so I could read them a little better and be more efficient the next day. So that's just crazy for me to think. I mean, I was doing that before cell phones too. That's how long I've been doing door to door. I'm a dinosaur in the industry, I guess. But nowadays they do have canvassing apps, and I've used all of them. I promise you, with different ventures that I've had, I've tried them all out. It really depends on what you're looking for, but I think just a canvassing app in general helps you to collect data. And also, more important to me, it helps me to identify with my sales reps at what part of the process they're getting hung up in the sale. And it could be as simple as their initial approach. If they're logging that, you know, they're not able to give their pitch, or whatever your benchmarks are for each level of pin that you're dropping of a disposition that happens at each house. So I think canvassing software, a lot of you know, day-to-day stuff, like we use a program now where it kind of ties into our day-to-day operations from a pest control side. So we've kind of married those two. So you have customer visibility as you're out on the doors and those type of things. So I think technology is definitely a lot better than the pen and paper that I was using back in the day. Certainly has a long ways to go, but I think it's heading in the right direction.
So in terms of, you know, sales and pest control, where does AI play a role in this? Obviously, every company's looking for the best way to use AI. So do you see AI helping, you know, these sales reps with scalability as we move now into 2024?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think that's still to be determined, right? I mean, I've got my ear to the ground of a few things that I think are up and coming that have the potential to really impact the door-to-door industry and in turn impact the home services industry. But nothing right now that I've at least been aware of that is just groundbreaking and is jaw-dropping and is really helping businesses to scale.
So in terms of, like, you know, like, have you looked at tools or seen tools, like, for example, like AI chatbots to kind of help, you know, with booking appointments or streamline like the process? Like, for example, I always talk about, you know, my pest control service provider, and it still feels like I'm in the 90s because I have to, you know, I get a text, get to call them. It's a very kind of like challenging process, which I'm thinking you can make this so much more streamlined. So if you look at, you know, some of these opportunities, you know, in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, we have chat on our pest control website, you know, that pops up like a lot of them, maybe more sophisticated, you know, pest control owners or you know, ones that are more technologically savvy or looking at options like that, where you can get that instant, you know, chat box, and you can get your answers right away and your questions answered and those types of things. So on a low level, I think you're starting to see that more and more in the pest control space and quite frankly, in other home service industries as well.
For sure. So in terms of door to door, I think that there's, you know, obviously instances of, you know, HOAs or places, you know, kind of cracking down on it. So how do you kind of of, you know, get through the, these kinds of hurdles that are potentially in the way for door-to-door sales?
Yeah, you know, strangely enough, probably one of the top questions that are asked of me by brand new sales reps is, what do we do if they have a no soliciting sign on the door, right? What's the approach? And my advice is, and I write about it a little bit more, you know, in a longer version, but short answer is, if you feel uncomfortable knocking a door with a no soliciting sign, you don't knock a door with a no soliciting sign. Because in door-to-door sales, you have to make a great first impression. If there's any bit of fear or hesitation on your part because there's a no soliciting sign, that potential customer is going to sniff that out the first second that they look at you, and they are going to crush you. And so to me, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, don't do it. You know, as far as gated communities and HOAs and those types of things, I mean, you just kind of have to play that by ear and see what opportunities are there, or maybe they're not there. But, you know, I really want, and most owners should understand this, you'd really want, you know, new reps, especially those that are in door-to-door and direct sales, you do not want to put them in a situation where they're going to knock on a door and get yelled at because they weren't licensed properly. And business owners should be licensing their reps. Different states and cities require certain licensing. You need to pay for that licensing. You need to do it above board, do it the right way. But if you got a guy scaling the wall of a gated community and knocking on doors and just completely getting, you know, getting slammed and, you know, not making it very far with people, you're just setting your whole operation up for failure.
When it comes to door-to-door, do you primarily focus on knocking homes like B2C, or do you also do B2B like business owners?
Yeah, for sure. So we have in my pest control company, we have a commercial team as well that does the B2B stuff. So it's not just us, yeah, knocking doors of residential homeowners, but we also have a commercial arm of our program as well.
Awesome. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started your career?
Boy, well, when I started, again, this was a long time ago, but when I started, we had a manual, and it was the door-to-door training manual, and it was a whopping 12 pages. And I think I had the thing memorized after 2 days, you know, knocking doors. And I'm like, I'm getting so much more than what is in this manual. Like there's just, it was appalling to me how little there was. And I think there's this little bit of a dark underbelly on door-to-door sales, right? Where a lot of times people thought, well, you need to be, you know, super slick. You need to lie, cheat, and steal your way to do that type of a sale. And that was one of the main reasons that I wrote a book or two books now on door-to-door sales. That's why I do a lot of coaching with business owners on how to successfully put together a door-to-door program, because there is a right way to do it. And you can do it all above board. You can do it ethically. You can feel good about yourself after doing it. And so if I could talk to my you know, previous self 25 years ago when I got into it, I would say just get all the resources there are to learn the right way to do it. And unfortunately, I don't think back then there were many, many resources out there. So fortunately today, if somebody just follows me or D2D Millionaire, you know, my consulting company, you're going to get hundreds of videos. You're going to get lots of training. And again, I do a ton of stuff for free, let alone my books and everything else out there. We just provide a very open and honest way to approach direct sales the way we do.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your company website or just best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, LennyGray.com. That's a great way. In fact, I open it up for business owners to set up a free 15-minute consultation with me. And I'm on every single one of those. So, I set aside certain amounts of time each week. They typically fill up pretty quickly. But yeah, that's a great way to at least, if you have questions about door-to-door, if you're considering door-to-door, want to know if it's a good fit for you, I just go to my website, LennyGray.com. There's a free consultation button, and man, let's talk.
Sounds great. Well, Lenny, thank you so much for your time today, and we're rooting for you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the interview.
Thanks. All right. Bye.